Yeah, and I chose to go with the globin gene, whereas Fred decided to do immunoglobulins, and I was less enthusiastic about that work because the problem I had been most interested in with immunoglobulins, which was the variability, the main part of it had been solved, I felt, by Susumu Tonegawa and his finding of the joining of the variable and the constant region of DNA to make antibody variability understandable. So anyway, here we are on page one, a partial digest of AB, which is Anne Bleckel, clone 165.12, which is a complete a G-gamma and A-gamma region. It's a large piece of DNA having both the fetal globin gene and with a preliminary order there already written out on the page, before page one on the left-hand side, preliminary order of the fragments. With a rather beautiful gel. But the DNA in different concentrations, or rather with different amounts of EcoR1 in the sample, starting from one. A thousandth diluted up to one-tenth diluted of our standard recipe, where one can see the bands being partial and completely digested. That it would appear that a complete digestion required a tenth dilution. And here on page 3, April 3rd, is a repeat of the partial digest, and what evidently was used for making a slide in those days, and the stain of increasing R1 with hemoglobin 165.12 and the hybridization to it with cDNA, globin cDNA, of whether that was the cDNA was beta globin or gamma globin. I can't tell from the photograph there, but I see what it says. So it was April 3rd, and the it was 11 micrograms total of the ABG 165.12 DNA, with the ligase, and DEPC, and then EcoR1. And the probe is not clearly stated there. So the probe was, anyway, there was a probe used, which was one over 32, which was 32p labeled cDNA. Which is probably described in the following pages. A provisional map showed that there was 140 kilobases of DNA, a beautifully large piece. And that the hybridizing bands were at 6900 down to as little as 270 base pairs, 6 fragments of ECOR1 fragments, which could be mapped, which could be reconciled with the map well. And with a comment, for example, that that this should be complete G gamma, and cut it out for recloning into PBR322. But it was it's a beautiful gel, and the hybridization to it, which is shown on the page facing P3. It's a very nice hybridization altogether. A very satisfactory result. And so we now have the G gamma and A gamma genes both on one clone. And started to map more seriously on page 9. Further restriction map of 165.12. And then we could decrease the containment rules if we could show that we knew what the region was. And so we set out to do this by mapping PST X-bar 1, BAM H1 and Bagel 2 sites to get proof. And double digests were carried out April 7th, page 11, and another beautiful set of hybridizations were obtained on the following pages, page 12 and page 13. Very enjoyable to look back and see how pretty those gels are and the hybridization. It must have been very rewarding at the time, because it certainly is looking back at them at this time. And although Bagel and Pist require repeating as far as the comment is concerned. But the repeats were made, and the hybridization expectations are given on page 15, and a provisional map on the same page, drawn by hand. Showing the map and the expectations. So, leaving that topic for the moment, we go back to Xenobus levus erythrocyte DNA. With a summary of what happens during the development of the different cells that can be obtained in whole blood, from small lymphocyte up through red blood cell and up through F, which is perhaps junk. So, recloning into PBR322 with the G gamma gene, as mentioned previously, aimed to use the two-piece partial of G gamma, which should be obtainable from a preparative gel, and then the partial digest is carried out on page 19. and with the conclusion that it's an excellent partial and can get out the full length form of 6.9 kilobases from the digest. The marker mix as a guide, the slowest doublet should be 6.9 and 9.8 kilobases along. And so a preparative gel was made and the edges were cut off and the sample was prepared from the middle. Though it's not a pretty gel, it was still possible to get the DNA out of it on page 21, April 19. And looking at the samples on a gel, as shown on page 23. That the 8.5 and 6.9 fragments were obtained. They used about 50% overall. The quality was exactly as expected, which is not to say it was perfect, but it was usable. The new batch of PBR-322 used, test digest of it, and ligations again when thinking about Stockmeyer concentration, April 25th, Wednesday, page 29. Happy with the concentration proportions on page 31, that the proportion of fragments was close to ideal and the ligations are very good. Apollo obtained the desired transformance. So that shows the pre and post ligation and the clones made from that. Going back to Xenophus levis, Xenophus levis 5.8S and 28S ribosomal RNA. And 8S RNA. And I get 4.95 base pairs for the 5.8S, the 4.8 KB material. And anyway, slightly different sizes. So Xenophus levis ribosomal RNA tests. And the hybrid plasmid talked about on Sunday, April 29th. I'm wanting to put the A gamma 5'2" in front of Xenophus levis 28S RNA. The purpose of this experiment is not immediately clear. To take the 5 kilobase fragment and the 2.7 kilobase fragment. 2.7 kilobase fragment from A gamma, and 5 prime two-thirds of Xenopus 28 sRNA. We must be thinking of some sort of transcriptional tests. Two little enzyme on page 36 and on page 38 overshot the other way to try to find the right concentration of enzyme to digest the Xenopus DNA. Complicated set of thoughts in these experiments, but anyway, trying to get the digestions to work. R1 digests May 3rd, Thursday again. R1 digests again, exclamation mark. With a comment that it's at 37 degrees, it's evidently hard to get intermediates. And a K 51.11, evidently K contains a nuclease since the yield is decreasing with an increasing amount of DNA. On page 41, time series on Friday, May 4th, a big improvement, but still not certainly the best, trying to digest the K51.36 clone. The shorter R1 times attempted on page 45, 2.5 minutes and 5 minutes. Preparative gel from the material made with the shorter times. Excellent digestion times, probably could have managed without gel purification if not successful, but anyway, trying to cut out the bands that are needed and staining. And again, a preparative gel. On page 49, May 10th. Yield better than 50% and purity acceptable for the fragments that were cut out.
getting out the 28S fragment from Xenippus Levis again on page 51 and 53. They used it okay without bothering about precipitation. So preparing the bands that I wanted to clone. Ligation again on page 55 with a conclusion that has is an incomplete sentence. Excellent ligation, bonded transfected with 3 microliters and got 10^4 colonies of which a blank are clone positive. So the answer is not given on that page. Complete we need complete G gamma and A gamma region subclones for sequencing. So run a preparative gel of the whole to get the fragments of different sizes in there, of which they are listed: 1.5, 3.2, 7, 6.9, 0, etc. And then reclone from 6.9 the 4 pieces, etc. How to get the sequences that we needed for they clone the sequences that we needed for sequencing. Preparative gels on page 59, May 15th. With the conclusion, the yields and the separations are close to perfect, and the various purified bands are shown. B, 59 fragments, 6.9, 2.7, 2, 1.60, etc. Each fragment is shown in the gel, and they're very satisfactory, as it says. Close to perfect, very good purification. Ligating these on May 17th with a Stachmeyer concentrations instead of Stockmeyer. We used to think a great deal about that. And set up the ligations and a high percentage of success in transformation. And then looking at them on page 65, Thursday, May 24th, all the ligations are effective, though somewhat poorer at the small end as expected. But later results show that the candidates are more frequent with the small end, despite the fact that the ligations didn't look so good. So before and after ligation fragments on page 65, ligating to PBR 322. Birthday greetings on page 67. A Gordon conference and vacation with Roger and with Beatrice and Roger, and a various farewell. Back to work July 9th. A TK fragment in PBR 322 on page 69. Raju Kuchilapati sent 100 micrograms of PBR 22 containing the 3.4 kilobase TK gene from herpes simplex virus. The aim is to put the TK gene and the G gamma gene into a single plasma for transformation tests. So using a thymidine kinase promoter gene from herpes in front of the
in front of the G gamma gene to get to be able to get expression, beginning to think about how expression is controlled with the G gamma and A gamma genes. And so here is EcoIL-1 on the thymidine kinase, PBR322 clone on page 71, July 9. Conditions a little too mild. Try again. And as before, EcoIL-1 over 40, 1 microliter per 10 microliters of reaction mixture is the best on page 72, with quite nice digestions. 1 over 40 being the one selected. Trying to get partial of the TK rather than complete. So a bulk reaction on page 75, with the placer not a very good cut, but managed to get out some. Repeated it again and got a better result. A preparative gel on set of results on page 77. The yield and purity completely acceptable. Now beginning to ligate the TK fragments to the G gamma gene. And on page 79, using Biolabs T4 ligase, and the conclusion on page 78 that the ligation is excellent. Repeating EcoIL-1 fragments from 165-24 on page 81. The digestion was incomplete. Use more enzyme next time. Southern blot on the 165.24 for RNA tests, okay for transfer. I'm going to use this V81R1 digest and test it in different ways for RNA tests.
the gel pieces looked at on Saturday, July 14th. Partial digests on page 87 continued. And DNAs on the RNA preparations on page 89. Decided to try to remove DNA from transcripts that Helena had made from the C165.24 DNA. DNAs on the RNA preparations on page 89. That DNS one looks to have been treated with diisopropyl fluorophosphonate. Can't be DPFF. I have to find out what DPFF is. It's not important, so I won't worry about it. Doing DNS on the RNA preparations. With the conclusion that it's best to use a third of a microgram plus 10 micrograms of the reaction for 10 microliters of the reaction mix for 30 minutes at 37. Digest with DNAs to isolate RNA without DNA attached. Going on with the ligation, one with G gamma and one with A gamma being ligated into PBR322 to purify the A gamma and the G gamma genes separately. Going back to RNA again on page 93. RNA test with DNAs, etc. Enough RNA to stain. The DNA works. Check with RNAs. I'm going now to transformations again, page 95. Reserve the centrifuge. And transformations continued on page 97. Using B91 and B91 G gamma and A gamma ligations that forgot to add the TK PBR322. Check on the ligations on page 99. The ligations are okay and the RNA test should be repeated. Continuing in the same vein for several more pages, including page 103, transformation of TKG gamma. And I got him on page 105, July 20th. I got about 150 colonies with 10 microliters of the G-gamma transformation versus about 300 on the positive control. And the negative control has nothing. Eventually, at the bottom, on Monday, July 23rd, the conclusion that the results gave one positive out of 48, increased the number to get more, and repeated with 192 colonies, they gave 10 more, so 11 out of 240, about 5%. And translating the 6.9 kb piece as a probe, Nick translated. This is aimed at expression experiments which later on were done with Raju Kuchalapati and Arthur. Raju Kuchalapati and Art Skolci. But these, I think that's what these preparations were primarily going to be used for. They were following up on a request for a collaboration with Raju. Desirable to make a plasmid, this is page 107, with alpha and beta, or alpha and gamma, on a single TK plasmid, and I can do this. Plasmid looks very complicated. We combined plasmid with the TK gene, which can work in either direction, going to alpha on two alpha genes on one side and going to G gamma on the other side. Using hemin could then screen for function of the hemoglobin production, because there would be alpha chains and gamma chains made by the same plasmid. It's the idea to make both alpha and gamma chains. Rather pie in the sky idea. Anyway, cloning the alpha genes from human DNA was therefore started on page 109. Try to get the alphas from many artists, otherwise can proceed to make them. Preparation of BAMR1 cloning DNA on page 113. We're starting with quite a large amount of Sharon 4A R1 DNA. Then cutting it with BAM afterwards. The results on page 112 are that the R1 is okay, but BAM needs another check after half an hour more, and then another 8 microliters of enzyme, presumably. So a preparative gel on the next page, the left arm and the right arm of 4A. A reminder, in future use Hellings times 4 for preparative gel, because this one was done with Hellings by 2 by mistake. Hellings by 4 gives more symmetrical bands. right arm and left arm on page 117. Bam right arm and equal right arm and left arm from Sharon 17 and Sharon 4A are being prepared. And gels showing that they are quite good materials. So combining BAM and R1 human shotgun on July 30th, page 119. And Paula tried previous DNA with 1 microliter with BAM R1, BAM H1, plus Jerry Slidham's Eco R1. And with various other controls. The digestion is complete, and there will not be a large amount of DNA equal to 13.5 kilobase pairs. And screen will be easy, is the conclusion. A little obscure. So a prep gel made for BAM R1 human DNA. 13.5 kilobase is the target size, and some markers, and C-plaque Hellings by 4 buffer with the places that were going to be cut and images of what was actually made there. And getting the gel fragments and freezing them to elute the DNA. So on page 125, Tuesday, July 31st, ligating BAM R1 13.5 kbp shotgun. With the right and left arm of Phage. Cool to any of the arms, and then packaging. We were doing direct packaging of DNA into Phages in those days, and packaging DNA with a packaging mix. So here's an example on page 125, as I said, Tuesday, July 31st. Left and right arm. Annealed and precipitated. Or just annealed, not precipitated. And then 10x packaging should give 5 micrograms of phage DNA plus molar equivalents of the target. Co-precipitate, etc., etc., and a gel run. The ligation is not terrific, but it's adequate. And the packaging led to a total yield of about 5.6 times into the third phages, and try again at half the concentration and with more ligase. So, packaging was again done on page 127. The A protein, there were various preparations used in packaging mixes, which later on, when I was doing the Nobel Prize work, learning how to package DNA, or using packaging DNA, was a very important part of the operation. To be able to package phage DNA into generating a live phage. A protein, in quotes, for packaging and cutting activity independently, etc., etc. So, with a comment on page 126, that the A protein is most difficult to make. Have to re-isolate red plaques and so on and so forth. The sonic extract, which is the other part of the packaging mix, is straightforward. And freeze saw lysate as the sonic is used. So here were various parts used in packaging. Page 126. It just lists the materials that are needed. Store it in liquid nitrogen. And the sonic extract storage also in liquid nitrogen. Freeze-saw lysate instead of sonic can be used and stored in liquid nitrogen, etc. Fearless experiments. Going back to the mini plasmids, the TK and G gamma, single candidates, single colonies of the candidates were obtained, and amplify in the future. Batch one of minis on Thursday, August the 2nd. The gel was overloaded, but one could still see the results. These were minis 18, 56, 57, 114, 162, 191, etc. With 191 circled.
About time
The gel was overloaded, used less, but almost certainly I have what I need, probably plus extra, with the gel pointing to, arrows pointing to the products that we one hoped to get. Repeat of the ligation for BAM R1 shotgun on August the 2nd, about 20,000 pages obtained. Going on with these on page 135, conclusion that R1 plus RNAs is an excellent method. Many of these products are, however, from the left side of 6.9, and several have PBR. 322 was a diamond, none is perfect. So screen a new set using the 1.6 probe and using replica methods. So got lots of clones and not what was wanted. Screening the various ones with a gel there. Showing what they had in more TK plus G gamma on page 139. 192 more candidates to 37 degrees.
You should quit the
day. Yeah, very soon. I'm about to finish
it.
I'll finish this book. Page 143, repeating the BAM R1 and a plus a minus DNA digest. And continuing in the same vein, rescreening T gamma and G gamma on page 145. Single colonies processed according to the previous protocol. With a hybridization image shown. Of colonies which were positive. 247, 251, 265, etc. A duplication hypothesis considered on page 147 as to how one got from a single globin, fetal globin gene to two globin genes. With a comparison of Gerasleitum that the sequences diverge at the end of the coding region. So considering a hypothesis as to how the G-gamma and A-gamma genes arose as a pair, which later on turned out to be more interesting, is how they communicated with each other in DNA-DNA gene conversion experiment events. So 149, still thinking about the 6.9 piece and then labeling it, etc. And page 151, which is the next to the last page in the book, is still looking at this NAMR1 ligation, and the ligation is excellent, the fragment size is excellent, and total of all current tests were used, etc., to give about 20,000 pages. And the last two pages of the book are end labeling of the 6.9 G gamma piece in order to make a probe. And that is the end of book V.